Woof-woof, the hound barks twice. He scratches his schwanz and bites at his leg. There's a track of his tears like blood on the snow, and flowers turn to shrouds wherever he goes.
Are you a poet by nature, or is it something that just flows out of you?
I am a poet by nature.
So as a poet that sort of wrote the book, did it take a little
bit? I didn't sort of that. People in your generation, every other fucking word out of their mouth is like, sort of, really, or some sort of equivocation. I wrote the novel.
So you wrote the novel?
Yes.
What do you think of the movie?
I think the movie is both a salutary adaptation of my novel and a stunning work of art on its own level.
Have you heard of this movie made into a movie where you could help the characters?
No.
Is this plot line?
No. This is how I looked at it in the beginning. In 1990, upon hardcover publication of the book, I was offered a handful of little piece of change for the movie option. I realized going in, they'll probably never make it into a movie. If they did, it would probably be irreparably screwed up. And, since I decided to take the option money, they did make it into a movie, and irreparably screwed up, I was honor-bound not to criticize the film for attribution. I took the money, nobody put a gun in my head. Now they've made a tremendous movie out of it, and I am thrilled to be able to go out and enthusiastically endorse it. Hardly at all. I just got lucky. Curtis Hanson and the people that made this film gave me a gift. I read the seventh draft of the screenplay. I offered some comments. I was overall thrilled with the script. I went through it, caught a few anachronisms. Curtis Hanson and Brian Helgeland, his co-screenwriter, corrected them. From that point on, Hanson and I were friends, and I consulted with him on points of 50s L.A. lore and police procedure periodically.
I think exactly your novel might be a bit of a daunting task for any writer. Did you help in any way, shape, or form, or were they intimidated? Did you offer your condolences, your best wishes?
I did not know Curtis Hanson until he and Brian Helgeland had gone through the seven drafts of the script. They did not consult me prior to that time. I did not write one word in screenplay.
It's a heavily plotted novel, heavily plotted movie, but there's much less plot to movie.
Yes.
Have you read the screenplay? I read the novel, and it's tough to find out if Walt Disney has a character and what it's a hidden side. Did you miss all that different, all those textures that they had to strip out?
I understood fully that no one could adapt the entire breadth of my novel to the screen. Parenthetically, L.A. Confidential is the third novel in my L.A. quartet. These are four novels, Black Daddy, The Big Nowhere, L.A. Confidential, and White Jazz, that traverse Los Angeles, my small town fatherland, between the years 1947 and 1959. This is an epic for the entire family. The name of your family is the Hanson family. L.A. Confidential is the longest, in every way the largest, densest, and most complexly plotted of the four volumes. There are eight fully fleshed out plot lines. There are over 100 characters. The drama plays out on hundreds of vanished locations that would be very difficult to recreate in a film. What Hanson and Helgeland did was retain my three viewpoint of the structure. Every scene in the book, every scene in the film, is shot through the eyes of Jack Nicholson's Bud White or Ed Exley. That structural integrity is there in the film. What Hanson and Helgeland did was trim entire plot lines, eliminate backstories, move characters to the foreground, move characters to the background, and drastically compress the time frame from the eight entire years of LA history that I covered into a more manageable 4 months.
You mentioned filling the man on police procedure in the 1950s. Certainly, film deals with police brutality on a very real level, and since the book came out, there was the whole Rodney King beating, and more recently, since the film was made in New York, the Abner de Lima case. How does this fit into the whole history of police brutality?
The harbingers of everything bad that went down with cops and black people in L.A. in the 90s were there in the 50s. the book, the film, begins with a real life incident, Bloody Christmas police brutality scandal of 1951. And as a case of abuse of police power, it's a much more egregious example than the Rodney King beating. It was there then, it's here now, it's been there at all points in between.
The past
did
you picture these people, or did it
scare you? When I wrote the novel, I did not know that Kevin Spacey, Russell Crowe, and Guy Pearce existed. I never picture actors in the role of my characters. Here we have the medium-sized, dark-haired Guy Pearce. Ed Exley in my book is tall, he has blonde hair going gray, and he's a much bigger man physically than Guy Pearce. Kevin Spacey in no way resembles Jack Nicholson. Bud White in no way looks like Russell Crowe. Now that the film has been made, these are the ultimate visual embodiments of the characters.
Is that
no. My book, it's because it's Hansen's movie. I wholeheartedly endorse the movie. It will bring arguably tens of thousands of readers to my book.
Can you just trade a little bit of why?
I was born in Los Angeles in 1948, which is the year of the rat in Chinese astrology. When I was 10 years old, in June of 1958, my mother was murdered in Los Angeles. It's remained an unsolved crime for almost 40 years. My mother's death engendered in me a tremendous curiosity for all things criminal, police work, psychosexual behavior, detection. Most importantly, L.A.'s social history and criminal history. It's not surprising that I grew up to write the books that I write.
You find that many aspects of the film, you spend a lot of research for things like the prostitution, and you have, you know, in doing the surgery, look like a prostitute, but do you think that you've got some actual historical backlist from your own imagination? And
I researched the actual Bloody Christmas police brutality scandal of 1951 for the book. I made up virtually everything else. What I did in the book was have real-life characters, Mickey Cohen, Johnny Sampinato, Chief William H. Parker, interacting with fictional characters. I had real-life characters who were things that they really did and things that they didn't do.
How would you articulate how our society is evolving or de-evolving and shifting given the fractures in our culture, the black male culture from the 50s to now? Some would say that we are evolving, some would say that we're not, and things are getting worse.
I think we're going through a period of exploitation. Everything was suppressed and repressed back in the 50s, everything is spoken about today. That can only help us in the long run. I am optimistic by nature. I don't know a lot about what's going on in the world today. I am sealed up in Kansas City, right in the dead middle of America. I immerse myself in the historical periods of the books that I am writing at the moment. My curiosities, my entire brain is focused in on that. I deliberately limit my intake of popular culture. I rarely go to film. I watch virtually no TV. I don't enjoy modern music. I cut it all off and concentrate on the work at hand. I can't honestly tell you what's happening in the world today.
Okay, some period of time in which you could live in some place
no.
of time?
No, I never think I was that place. I never think, what would have happened if your mother hadn't been killed? Would you write the kind of books that you write? Where would you be today? It doesn't get you from point A to point B to think hypothetically. Thus, I don't do it.
Why does a character based on a childhood trauma take a career without revenge parts of the similar in a way to William Mother's murder has motivated?
That's very true.
How much of that character would want to
by the way, it comes directly out of me. I'm not a violent man by nature. It actually comes very much out of me. I am opportunistic, conniving, extremely ambitious, and out to surmount my origins. Nice thing about being a writer is you get to be as ambitious as you want, and when you do, you stay in the running. commit words to paper. You don't have to go out and pull stuff like shotgun head.
Do you find that's where you're most comfortable? Do you particularly enjoy this process, talking to people?
I love the publicity process. It's like being an animal cut off this nation. I hole up alone for long periods of time. I write extremely long, complex, detailed books. I'm capable of sustaining concentration for long periods of time and focusing on one thing only. I'm probably the most mentally disciplined writer that I've ever known. And I get to go out periodically on book tours, usually, and promote the shit out of the books that I love to write and get to meet the people who read the books and love them and who are jolted out of their daily lives to read these books. And it's a big blast. And this is the first time I ever went out and promoted a movie, and I'm having a big blast here.
In terms of your writing process, do you set yourself on a schedule? Do you give yourself an allotted period of time to complete a novel? Do you take it as it comes at this point?
I take it as it comes at this point. I write from extremely detailed, meticulously developed outlines, and I don't deviate from the outlines at all. The outline, for instance, for LA Confidential is 250 pages. Yes, I am working on the sequel to my most recent novel, American Tabloid, which was parenthetically Time Magazine's novel of the year 1995. American Tabloid is the story of all the harbingers of the Kennedy assassination. It goes from 58 to 63. It is the first volume of what I'm calling my Underworld USA trilogy. The next two books will cover 63 to 68 and 68 to 73. I've read some books that I utilized in the action of American Tabloid. I hired a researcher for this book. What I will be doing one more time is rewriting history to my own specifications, having real life characters interact with fictional characters, and having real life characters do things that they really did and didn't really do.
What's your perspective on that? On that particular conspiracy,
I think John Kennedy was murdered by a loosely knit conspiracy comprised of members of organized crime, renegade CIA men, and crazy human exiles. This thesis is hardly original. I first read it in Don DeLillo's wonderful novel, Libra. Libra is in every way the spiritual genesis of American Tabloid, and I credit DeLillo with that inspiration for attribution every chance I get.
You say you cut yourself off from many of the aspects of that modern society, yet you see yourself very much in historical periods of recent history. At what point did you cut yourself off?
It's been a process that's been developing over years. I don't like popular culture. It feels like shit in my brain. I don't get anything out of it. I would rather be at home spending time with my wife, who is the single most brilliant human being I've ever met. I like to think. I like to listen to classical music in the dark and brood. I like occasional classic film noirs from 1945 to 1960. I like to watch boxing on television, and I like to get exercise. I like to live a wholesome, disciplined, contained life in rural America. I've had enough crazy stuff up here to last me another 49 years.
Have you, the film is particularly acclaimed. Do you have no desire to explore what's happening now? But, I mean, you know, there's one of the films made in the 40s and 50s, obviously, but obviously there's also one of the films being made now. You don't feel that you could be any inspiration for anything that's happened post 1960?
No.
Which is interesting because you like publicity. Because you end up watching, but that was the publicity that you're doing for it. Like the radio, you've been doing TV.
I have.
Monitor what's going to happen, or is it the actual?
I have the best publicist in the world. And I've taken off my hardcover publisher, Vintage, my paperback publisher. They keep abreast of these things and keep me informed. And people tell me things.
The movie, Eastern popular culture, obviously it's going to make a little difference. But is that pop culture more appealing to you, the pop culture 40, 40, 50 years ago than what you have now?
I specifically dislike rock and roll. I think it's music. It's not much more than institutionalized rebelliousness. And my message to rock and rollers worldwide is grow up, quit wearing black, don't use drugs, don't smoke cigarettes, and try to be cool, and quit rebelling against your parents. I think the use of music in the iConfidential soundtrack is striking. It's subtly, in general, popular songs that are used. Offsets what's going on with the individual characters. It's played low on the soundtrack, and most of it isn't readily identifiable 1953 music. There are a lot of old standards that we hear. The one song that they play that's flamboyant, kitschy, and quintessentially 50s is the Kate Star hit Wheel of Fortune. It's played full blast over a long montage sequence, and I think it's especially striking.
Do you think there's any possibility that you just maybe the discovery you missed out on some wonderful novels that you just talked about with your stereotype? You know?
Think of all the books that I'll have written in the meantime. Because I sustained discipline and wasn't distracted. One day, regretfully, I will die. But the more I have sent myself from certain temporal pleasures in the moment, the more I'll leave on.
So do you keep tabs of the literary thing at all? Like, there will be a new book coming out. You know,
people tell me about that? No.
I'm going to see like a month only to get a life.
Yeah, and I love to laugh, and my wife and I have a blast. We go out to restaurants, and we think about things, and we talk a lot, and we're having a blast. Helen used to be a film critic and feature writer and columnist for a newspaper in LA, and she's currently writing her first novel.
Do you find that that solitude in the middle of the country like that, that's the type of vacuum that you need to create, or could you work as well in a mountaintop in Los Angeles or a hotel in New York?
I could work as well anywhere. I like Kansas City physically, it's a beautiful city. 2% unemployment, people are fat and sassy and well fed, and they tend not to kill each other as much as they do here, but I like that. I'm a high school dropout. I never went to college. I drank and used drugs and broke into houses of sick women's undergarments and did county jail time for many years. I got sober when I was 29. And if you're interested in reading more about this, my autobiographical memoir, My Dark Places, was published in hardcover last year and is out now in trade paperback vintage. It's the story of my mother's murder, its effect on me, its ramifications, and it's the story of the 15-month reinvestigation into my mother's murder that I conducted with a retired LA County Sheriff's Homicide Detective. Read the book.
Have you ever been to the By Hollywood to write screenplays? I can imagine it wouldn't be that easy to do that.
I'm a novelist.
What about your novels? And that was just one of the movies that you
did. All of my books, with the exception of my book Killer on the Road, have been optioned to various filmmakers and studios, and they're in various stages of development. I don't know what will happen now that this film is out.
Thank you.
All right, Cap.